All right, let's read here. I'm going to read verses 19 and 21, through 19 through 21. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him whom hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children
of God.
We're talking about manifesting the sons of God. This is part four, if I'm correct. Manifesting the sons of God. Don't forget now, try to get yourself a notebook, because we land down some real good principles here in that notebook. You can have all these notes of whatever I start preaching on. Okay, manifesting the sons of God. Now, what is happening in these days right now? Heaven is coming down and being met with conflict by this hostile atmosphere of Satan that he has set up. And heaven is invading the earth. Okay? A way of saying that is that our redemption draweth nigh. Okay? And the result is something called tribulation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is what? Not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So when is the end going to come? When the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. All right? So now you and I are being sent into this world. And this world has had a god over it named Satan, or call him Satan. And the devil has had control over this world because of Adam's sin, of course. But now we're coming here to restore the order that God had planned from the beginning. And taking places and the idea of making ruined places like the Garden of Eden. Now let's show you what the enemy can produce. Let's go over here to Isaiah chapter 14, please. Isaiah chapter 14. And let me know when you get to Isaiah chapter 14. All right. Now, I'm have to move kind of quickly because I'm going to end here fairly quickly. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, Lucifer is a name that was given to this archangel who covered the throne of God and provided the praise. So he lost his job. And now, of course, he's trying to destroy the people of praise. Verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. This is him talking now. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake what? Kingdoms, that made the world as a what? Wilderness, and destroyed the what? Cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners. Now, is this a man? Now, how does he bring destruction like that? Well, one thing is he is got death in him. So death is the only thing he can bring. Whatever nations you've seen that have risen have also fallen. Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. I mean, there was one time where Alexander the Great had conquered the world. There was one time where Rome, it was everywhere. I mean, you can look at the same thing. I mean, even Great Britain. I mean, they're Great Britain owned everything. They were everywhere. But notice how those places have shrunk back. And let me show you something which is a law that is still working. Turn with me to James, if you will, in James chapter 5. I think that's where it is. Pardon me, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I said chapter 5, make it chapter 6. I'll get it right here in a minute. Galatians chapter 6. Are you with me? Verse 6. Let's start at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his what? Flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Now the Amplified says something a little bit different from that, and it talks about that same verse, and it uses a word that I think is a little bit more easier to understand, a little bit easier to understand. And it says this. This is chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at or scorned or disdained or mocked by mere pretentious or professing or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. For he who sows to his own flesh, the lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. So, God is not destroying the earth. What's destroying the earth is sowing to the flesh. Because when you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. So sowing to the flesh, cheating people out of their money, that's sowing to the flesh. Well, how much of that do you have going on in Satan's empire? A bunch. So why is it being destroyed? Because it's reaping destruction. It's not God doing it. God didn't send the tornado. You got what I'm saying? Now, my point to you is to see who's destroying the city, who's working to do that. And what happens is man is doing the best thing he or she can without God. And that's why God needs you, because you have the wisdom and the revelation and insight and understanding that it takes to lead mankind out of this wilderness. But look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs chapter 14. Yes, indeed. Proverbs chapter 14. This is good stuff. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. All right, look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 14. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord, somebody. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems what? Right to a man. Keep going. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Folks, I'm telling you. And I was talking to some people the other day about casinos. And I have nothing against casinos and so forth like that. But he said, hey, you know, think about putting those up in the city, help get some revenue and so forth like that. I said, yeah, okay, fine. But I really believe there's a better way. You follow what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a way that seems right. Because they don't have anything else to draw from. Hey. Now, let me do this, because I want to shorten this. But I got something written down here. I can feel it. All right. Come on, sister. Amen. Bless you. All right. Manifesting the sons of God. You remember, and I'm going to talk just a little bit. You remember when Jesus was going over to the other side in the boat and he fell asleep and the storm came up? Am I right about it? And when that storm came up, it came up to really destroy them, to keep them from reaching the other side. Okay? I mean, how many times did Satan try to destroy Jesus, you know? And he, all right? So when that happened, Jesus rose up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still, and there was a great calm. And then the next thing that happened, he asked them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then they said, they feared exceedingly and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I want to underline the word man. What manner of man is this? Because we're manifesting as sons of God. So the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I've got some stuff for you, but I'm gonna take a detour here for a minute. Let me just give you one scripture. Psalm 110, please. Psalm 110. All right, have you got it? Verses 1 through 3. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So now, everywhere God sends us, he expects us to rule. Because now we're invading this atmosphere with a whole new kingdom. And we are to rule in the midst of our enemies. Now, one man wrote it like this. I'm going to just read it. It is a time of dominion when men will walk like spirits. Now, that is no different than what Dad Hagen said. He said, before we leave this earth, men are going to walk like gods. Now, some people don't like that kind of talk, but I don't have time for them. Look, I used to answer that, but I'm not answering it anymore. So wherever God plants you, he expects you to possess. Say amen to this. Now, if it's in a school system, if it's in politics, if it's in business, he expects you to take dominion. Got it? And in that, he's going to raise you up that you will be I was looking for my notes on this because it had the wording that I want. But you are going to perform on a level that's so much higher than the people in the world that you the anointing is not just for miracles in church. But it's a performance enhancer. It enables you to live far above what the natural world can experience. That's where I want to get to. Oh Lord, y'all stay with me now. Manifold wisdom of God is coming through the church. And the kingdom of God is not just theology. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. I know this is right because I can feel my shirt getting wet. I'm telling you, when that revelation, that anointing started pouring, First Corinthians chapter 4, let me know when you get there. And verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in what? Word, but in what? Power. And that is what people are waiting for. You see, the only thing that the devil respects is power. Now, you can say what you want and you can be talking all this theology and all that kind of stuff. But it takes power to move him. He respects a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So what am I saying? In Psalm 110, this is the day of his power. Oh, just stay with me. I'm going to just preach it. I don't care if nobody like it. Christianity will no longer be mistaken as religion. Do you hear what I'm saying? Turn to Psalm 66, please. Psalm 66. See, this thing here kind of, you know, you got to have an anointing to preach this because I'm decreeing more than I'm saying. You know what I mean? Psalm 66. And let me know when you get there. Verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. That's when they're going to submit. They are no longer going to mistake Christianity for religion. Because religion don't have that kind of power. And I was down in Miami. We were down in Miami speaking, and pastor's wife, they were telling us about how they got some land. And they said that Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin, was down there when he was still in the earth. He was down there preaching about a three-week meeting or something like that, because they preached long meetings at that time. And he was preaching, and they were trying to get this land, but the land had been it had been tested for contaminants, and that the land was unfit for anything to go on it for them to build part of their church complex. And they didn't know what to do about this. Dad Hagen comes down there, and I'm trying to get the story altogether right. But they tell him about it, and then he go off in the spirit. And then he began to command that spirit to leave that land. Now, what he say he saw was he saw one of the ugliest demonic creatures that he had ever seen in the spirit. And that creature was sticking his head up on the land looking around. He was in the ground sticking his head up. And he cast him off the land. Then they were to get the group of the government, whoever comes out, and test the land. And they said, well, we've tested it already. No, come out and test the land. They came out and tested the land, and the land was just as clean as a whistle. That demon had affected their equipment and their samples to the point that it looked totally different. You better hear what I'm saying. Now, I'm saying that they were trying to get some more land, and apparently these rich people wouldn't sell it to them. And they told Lester Summerall or somebody about it. And he just said a prayer and claimed that land.
Yes.
And each one of them people that stood in the way trying to block that land, mysteriously just died. That's called the vengeance of the Lord. And that's the hour that we're in.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you know that can happen because Ananias and Sapphira fell dead right in the church. Now, I'm saying we're coming into a time that nobody can block your way to where you're going. That's where we're coming into. See, but you got to know who you are. You are here to manifest the sons of God. And the enemy respects power.
That's right.
And that's what you got. Hello. Now, let me just show you one more thing. You got time for just one more thing here? Now, y'all not getting scared, are you so forth and so on. All right, okay. Now I'm not bringing in the oil tonight, but it talks about, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Save the sick. Save is the word sozo, which means heal, deliver, so forth and so on. Whatever they need, that would happen. And the Lord will raise him up, and his many sins he'll be forgiven. So if sins got him in the thing, then he'll be forgiven of the sins and healed of the thing. This is the church. Now, why is he doing this? Because of Isaiah 61. He's about to beautify the church. Now, this is the time we're in. We're in the day of his power. You got to remember the first scripture we read. That's the time that we're in. And so now, in this, what was I going to tell you? Well, anyway, let me just show you this. Let me go back to my notes here, praise the Lord. Are y'all with me so far? Yeah. We're manifesting the sons of God. Folks, this is on another level that I'm teaching now. See, you don't have to curse nobody. God, vengeance belongs to God. You let God handle your situation any way he wants you to handle it. But I'm going to tell you this, name it and claim it. In other words, if you want something, claim it. If that's yours, say that's mine and I'll take it if you please. Now, I'm talking about you don't have to grab nothing, stick nobody up, beat nobody up with nothing. You just open your mouth and with a kingly anointing, you just decree it and it shall be done for you. Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right, now, let me just show you this. Ooh-wee. I'm preaching tonight, betting you saying amen, boy. All right. Okay. All right, now I have gone to somebody and I say, you can be a millionaire in a month. I got one amen over there. Now understand, you're coming from another kingdom. And the enemy had programmed our minds that one, it's not for good for, it's not God's will for Christian to be wealthy. But this business about being wealthy quickly is totally outrageous. Now, the thing first that we've got to understand is that Satan had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel would shine on them. So, it is impossible for us to know the things of God without the Spirit of God. So if I say that you can be a millionaire in a month, say amen. You don't know how that might happen. It might happen with God giving you an idea. Now, folks, I know I'm going pretty far out there in the deep. But if you got any sense at all, you know the Bible says with God, all things are possible. Now, you remember this. There's two places I want to go. I'm almost done. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to go to, oh, Jesus. Daniel chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 first. All right. Now watch this. I want you to be glad you came on Wednesday nights. Look what it said in verse 1. And you, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Of disobedience. Among whom also we what? All had our what? Conversations when? In times past, in the what? Lust of our flesh, fulfilling the what? Desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. All right. Now, I don't have the Amplified. Yes, I do have the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Hold on just a minute. So let me read out of the Amplified verse 3, chapter 2 and verse 3. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupted and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings, and we were then by nature children of God's what? Wrath, and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. So we couldn't even control our thoughts. That the enemy was after us, controlling us and our thinking from birth. Turn to one more place. I'm taking it out of the way, but just a moment. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. And if you don't have these scriptures, you don't need to turn there. Just look on the board. He'll show them. And the reason I'm having you to turn there is because I want you to read it with me sometimes, because making sure that, you know, I'm telling you the whole story. Okay? All right? Now, it says in Revelation chapter 12, come on now, and look at verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called who? The devil. And who else? Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. The enemy was after us at birth. Oh, my time is up. Okay. Let me just finish this, what I'm saying here. The enemy was after us at birth. I mean, he starts working with people as soon as they come out into this earth. Affecting your thinking. Because his job is to conquer your thoughts. Because what you think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Look how he conquered thoughts before. Genesis chapter 6. How much of the world did he deceive? Come on, help me. All of it. Deception has to do with giving information that is misinformation and having people to believe it. Look what it says here about the time of Noah. And look what it said in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how he can affect an entire population. Everybody. Now, the only way you're going to get the truth is you have got to hear from God. And you can't trust your senses. So you're going to have to get it by something called revelation. In other words, as I speak to you, the Holy Ghost is with you, making something real to you, and that reality of that is coming up to renew your mind. So your mind, Jesus said, you shall know the what? Truth. And what will the truth do? It will make you free. It will separate you from the deception that you were under when you came in here. And the deception is, you thought it would take a long time, but you can be a millionaire in a month. Now, let's go. Are you with me? Now, let's just go to a scripture. Let's go to Proverbs in chapter 2, please. Proverbs chapter 2. Oh, I'm out of time. I know. Let me just lay this on you, and I'm done. Man, I didn't mean to talk this long. See, I want you to distrust that stuff that you heard. And I want you to trust the Word of God. I want you to say, hey, wait a minute. Now, God said that all things are possible. Well, now, if all things are possible, I could be a millionaire in a month. See, once you open up to it, then he can pour in ideas. See, opportunities, you hear people say, well, the opportunities come only once in a lifetime. That ain't true. You can make opportunities. You can cause opportunities to come when you need one. You follow what I'm saying? You did? No, no. See, we've been hoodwinked. We've been saved, but we're still thinking like folk who are not saved because our minds hadn't been renewed yet to God's possibilities. And all of a sudden we say, hey, wait a second here. Now, just think about it. Now, Daniel chapter 2, I'm going real fast because I got to close out. Daniel chapter 2, didn't Nebuchadnezzar have a dream? And he didn't know what he dreamed. And he didn't know what the dream meant. But it did disturb him. So he goes and he threatens his sorcerers and magicians and so forth and say, if you don't tell me what I dream, I'm going to kill you. Now, that really, you know, that was all the motivation a man really would need. Am I right about it? So if it's any time they could come up with something, that would be it. But they couldn't because it was higher than what the humans could operate in. But you are going to manifest the sons of God, man. And so what happened was Daniel came to him and said, hey, O king, listen, you give me a night, I'll come back and I'll tell you what you dream. Am I right about it? Now, this is something that Daniel didn't know. He didn't know what it was. He didn't have any idea what the king dreamt, but he knew this, that all he had to do is call for it. He say amen to this. See, he could have gotten his mindset to say, well, now I just got to wait on the Lord because the Lord will send an opportunity by his door. No, no, no. You make the opportunities. See, those things are, glory to God, you can use your faith and create an opportunity. Oh my goodness. Is this sinking in at all? All right. No. See, this whole idea about you're not in control, wrong. It's just land there. Opportunities just land there. Watch this. Inventions are just land there. Think about it. You can go to bed tonight, put a pen and a paper by your bedside on the nightstand because you're expecting to hear from God in a dream. They got to use faith to do this. And the next thing happened, you get something more. I said, wow, man, that's a good idea. Next thing you know, within 30 days, you have taken that idea and sold it to somebody. And they have given you $2 million for it. Now, isn't that possible?
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand. That's all we have. If any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God. But now you see why Paul talks a lot about the mind. He says this. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where is the stronghold? It's in the mind.
That's right.
It's in the mind.
Yeah.
And it's coming down.
Amen.
Matter of fact, while the music softly plays, I want you to repeat a prayer after me. Are you with me? Say this with me. In the name of Jesus,
I break
evil and inappropriate thought patterns in my mind. I cancel
every negative word.
The effect of every negative thing.
Every self-defeating thought.
Every negative thought process.
And pattern.
And I put them under my feet.
Now, Father,
in the name of Jesus,
grant me new ways of thinking.
New ways of walking.
New ways of living.
Upgrade my thoughts
so that I can think like you.
Starting right now.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
All right, praise God.
If you're here, before you leave, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. I want to pray with you. I know we've lasted a little long, but if you would just give us a little time, if you, in your life, you know you're not right with God, but God has certainly been speaking to you during this time, and I was in the same place where you are.